Hi, welcome to the Monday Night Call with Winfrey and Terry Brown, and we are just waiting for them to get here. So welcome to everyone on BBS Radio, and we'll just listen into the silence and know that, you know, there'll be those coming in.
Just say hi once in a while.
Yes, I'm just getting ready to. I was looking for some music there. Hello to BBS Radio, and welcome to the Monday Night Call, and we welcome you. I'd like to say hello to the next caller, and welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and location? Or not, we welcome you and appreciate you being here. And again, welcome to the Monday Night Call. Let's say your name and location.
Hi, Deb. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane in Pennsylvania. We have another caller in BBS Radio here with us, and we are just counting down to the top of the hour.
You sound better.
I am definitely getting there. I'm not as tired as I am, but, you know, you sleep X amount of hours and you wake up and you're wide awake, and then you finally fall asleep in the a.m. in the morning, like really late. So,
yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, my whole sleeping schedule's messed up, but it'll go back to normal.
I was having a problem with my shoulder, and that was keeping me awake. Couldn't get comfortable.
What's going on with your shoulder? Do you know?
No. It's like, I don't know, just kind of getting, like, numb in my hand. Like, I think I have a pinched nerve.
You know, yeah, if you're getting numb in your hand, probably a pinched nerve. If
yeah.
not, you probably have something else going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm putting a heating pad on it when I slow down and stay in one place for a while. I put the heating pad on, and I think that helps.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it makes it feel better for sure. Hi, welcome to the Monday Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Prudence in North Carolina. Hi, everyone. Hi, Deb. Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome, Prudy, and hello, and welcome. And to the next caller, would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Deb. It's Cleo in Connecticut.
Hi, Cleo in Connecticut. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'd like to say welcome to the BBS Network, and Wynn will be here pretty quick, and we will get started, but in the meantime, we are currently waiting for him. So, Cleo, how are you feeling this evening?
I'm getting better. My bronchitis cough is slowly going away after having it for 2 weeks. How about yourself?
Mine's finally starting to go away, but it's still there. It makes its presence known when I do cough. So
I know. And it takes a long time to get rid of that cough. So
that's such a shame. I'm sorry for you, too. It must be going around, huh?
I feel good. I feel good. It's just...
Oh, good.
No, what are you going to do? It's there, you know.
Cleo, did you see Kimberly when she was in Connecticut?
No, I did not, because I was up in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I just wondered, there was a caller on the one of our callers, and I don't remember her name, but she was going to see Kimberly.
No, it wasn't me.
From Connecticut. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Hi, welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry from Dallas. Welcome.
Thank you, Deb.
And welcome to the next caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie in Citrus Heights. Welcome.
Thank you, Deb.
And welcome to the next caller.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hi, Wynn in Sedona. We have BBS Radio here with us.
Hello, BBS. Is Terry here?
No, she's not.
Well, go get her.
Get her? Okay, I'll use my magic lasso. How about that?
your magic lasso.
Yeah. And hello and welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hey there. Thank you.
And Wynn, you have me this evening as your greeter. And
I wouldn't go so far as to say I have you. When was the last time you told a man that they had you?
Never. Absolutely never.
Never, right?
Right.
Okay, just checking, okay?
Okay, but I meant it in the figurative sense, so. I am the greeter, and I'm leaving at until to get the next call coming in. So.
All right, let me go get the next Terry.
Okay. So anybody have anything they'd like to say?
How are you feeling, Deb?
Getting there.
Okay.
I get real tired, but I'm still, sleep for X amount, and then I wake up. So, getting there, and I still have the cough attachment, but that's okay. It's going away.
Okay. Good. At least you're going in the right direction.
Yes, that's what I'm totally hoping. Continuing to put that energy there. And welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Terry in Sedona.
Hi, Terry in Sedona.
Hi.
Welcome to
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
We're glad you're here. Now we're waiting for Wynn to come back. Maybe?
Yeah, he'll be right back.
Okay. No, I was just, I thought I heard him, but I guess I didn't. So, again, welcome to BBS Radio, all the callers on there, on the radio, listening to us here on Monday evening, and we appreciate you being here with us.
Anna, Kent Washington.
Hi, Anna and Kent. Welcome.
Thank you.
And welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hey, this is Bonnie in California.
Hi, Bonnie in California.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome. Hi. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, Wynn.
So what's on your menu tonight?
We're having, a football special, so we got, let's call them Dodger dogs. No, we got...
Dodger.
We're having hot dogs and pretzels and cheese and stuff. Not much meals going on during football.
And they're not even organic, are they?
Uh-huh. Not so much, right.
True confessions.
I'm trying, but boy.
and everybody's drinking beer, right?
Well, sure, of course. Uh-huh. Yeah, we've been having fun. It's a real experience, I'll tell you. We had a huge party this weekend. Somebody retired from the railroad, so... What better place to come and throw a retirement party than right next to the train tracks, you know? Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now, if anyone is passing through Corona, right?
Yes, it's in Corona, California, and we're at 150 Depot Drive. You can't miss that address, and it's the original.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Okay, love it. Everybody,
yeah, don't, I don't eat hot dogs though, but I eat not dogs.
Well,
okay,
we have lots more on this on the menu. Thanks, Wynn.
You're welcome.
Love you, guys.
I don't know if you're going to get rich from that recommendation.
Oh no, you know what? It's okay. It's holding its own. I don't even have to be there. It has its own momentum. It's been going on for so long, so many years.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes, it is. It really is. And it just kind of sat right on my lap when the opportunity came. So, good thing, because I needed to do something with, my father had left me a little bit. And, it's a good thing I invested in it, because who knows, and it'll be going on for a long time.
So, tell me. Is Corona beer named after Corona, or is Corona named after Corona beer, or is there no connection?
No connection, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Coronas. There's a Corona New York, a lot of Corona New Mexico.
Mm. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the Tesla Corona.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know about that?
No, I don't.
Well, Corona is the name for, when there's a big electrical field and you kind of see energy around it?
Sure, I do. Yes.
That's called a Corona.
Corona, right.
Okay.
Well, we're named the Circle City. We're named Circle City because we have a street, Grand Boulevard, that is a complete circle. And back in the 19-teens, it was on the automobile racing circuit, and they used to race cars here until they had some big accident, and like three people died. So we're called the Circle City because we have like a three-mile circle in the middle of town here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super.
All right.
Let us get... started. Terry, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
We are so predictable. You still there, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 2nd, 2017, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Arizona. Everybody everywhere, and a particular hello to everyone who's listening on BBS. And I sent out an email, but I sent it, probably didn't see it. But I was watching some YouTubes last week, and there were these YouTubes that somehow got on my screen. I think they were from Vietnam. And they were showing animals fighting, okay? And it was a little bit upsetting looking at the survival of the fittest, okay? Which, of course, we've all heard of. But somehow, I tuned into it, at least with regards to animals. And I was looking at all of these beautiful, beautiful animals. And I started to think about how they all got engineered. Okay? You know, when you look at animals and you look at how different they are, and a giraffe with its long neck, and an alligator, and a snake, and a lion, they're all so unique. And of course, scientifically, one would say that there must have been just one original species that just kept mutating into all these different species. But I don't think that's the way it works. We're going to find out tonight. I think there was a huge amount of genetic manipulation to create the different species. And, you know, we've been discussing how the universe was created for a few years now. And it's an ongoing dialogue where I think we've learned things. I have. I'm probably, if you've been on this particular topic, we've learned things that have never been in this realm before, you know? So, we're going to see what our sources say about the evolution of species in this realm and how that works. And did they just let go of it and let it happen? Did they participate in it? Did they start out participating and then let go? And then the negative took it over? And the different species of humans, black people, Chinese people, you know. Now keep in mind, all this stuff has been developing for billions of years, if not longer. And everything keeps building on the past. So there's probably some really interesting things we're going to learn about. Another thing I just want to make a mention of is this shooting in Las Vegas. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I started looking at some of the events that were massacres or shootings or things like that. And you can do the same. You can look up Boston Marathon, put the word false flag or conspiracy after it on YouTube, and use the search engine start page if you want to keep yourself anonymous. It's just like Google, but it doesn't report or save your searches. And there was the implication. There were all, let's see, even going back to the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, in the movie theater. And that one had some really strange things about it. Like, people were watching the Batman movie, and in that movie, there was a picture of a skyscraper that was named Aurora. And, you know, very shortly after that incident, there was Sandy Hook. And there was, you can go look this up on the internet, there was a guy pointing to a map somewhere in that movie, pointing to Sandy Hook. And one theory about this is that they are, if you saw the movie The Manchurian Candidate, there were two versions of it. Fascinating movie. But in that movie, it presents the possibility that a human can be programmed to do things, okay? I don't know if it's still a human by the time we're doing these things, but a human can be implanted and programmed. And in some of these situations, it seems like that may be an explanation. For example, there was a book called Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. And supposedly, that book was used in some way for people who were implanted to do acts, these kinds of acts. And as I recall, the guy that shot John Lennon, if he did in fact shoot John Lennon, had one of these books carrying with him. And the guy that shot Reagan also had one of these books. And, you know, you don't have to know all these details, except that nothing is as it seems. And Dharmananda sent me a little thing that somebody posted, 5 things that don't add up about the Las Vegas massacre. And I'll tell you what they were. Dozens of concert goers reported the presence of multiple shooters. And somebody who was at the event said an unidentified woman had told other concert goers they were all going to die after pushing her way to the front of the venue. And another thing that was, and that was 45 minutes before the shooting started, the weapon you hear on videos was fully automatic. And if you watched the video, it was like a, you know, really fast machine gun, which is almost impossible to acquire through legal means. And then they made the comment, the multitude of videos that captured the event clearly indicate that at least one shooter was running a full auto weapon system. Such weapons are almost impossible for civilians to acquire, although some pre-1986 weapons are available for sale, they require extensive ATF documentation, background checks, and extremely long wait periods approaching 1 year, and cost $25,000 or more, and they're extremely rare. They are, however, widely owned by police officers, federal officials, and military organizations. And it would be interesting to find where the weapon came from and how it was acquired. And here's an interesting one. Why were the exits blocked, trapping victims like rats in a maze? Numerous reports from victims or from witnesses who were on the scene revealed that nearly all the exits were blocked. One witness described the situation as being caught like a rat in a maze with numerous dead ends. You know, in that particular case, it might be that this was a paid event and they didn't want people sneaking in, but they should have let them out if they wanted to go out. And of course, did the people at the exits have any idea what was going on? I don't know. And why did the shooter have as many as 10 firearms in his room? The shooter, identified as Stephen Paddock, had as many as 10 firearms in his room, including several rifles. If he was the only shooter, what's the point of having so many rifles? One man can obviously shoot one rifle, and since he had a fully automatic rifle, he could obviously achieve his aims by focusing on his one rifle. There was no need for him to have multiple rifles. So were the others brought in the room to stage the crime scene with an abundance of guns? Why would one elderly man bother to carry 8 to 10 weapons to a hotel room in the first place? Rifles aren't lightweight devices. And one more thing, why is ISIS claiming responsibility for the Las Vegas massacre? Islamic State has claimed responsibility and said the attacker had converted to Islam a few months earlier. The Las Vegas attack was carried out by a soldier of the Islamic State, supposedly, and he carried it out in response to target states of the coalition. The group's new agency, Amaq, said in reference to the U.S.-led coalition fighting the group in the Middle East. In any case, this just came out. You know, if you want to track it, I guarantee you could go to YouTube over the next couple of weeks and do Las Vegas Massacre. Conspiracy or Las Vegas Massacre. What's the other word? False flag. Somebody's going to come up with taking the stuff apart, and then you can decide what's legitimate or not. And you know what? You can't do anything about it. It's just, you know what? It's like, just know that this is going on, and this is the world we live in today, and you can't trust the news. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen exactly the way the news said it did. Maybe it did. But you decide. You know, that was...
It just seemed kind of odd. Like, you know, they had a picture of the guy. And, he didn't... I don't know, he didn't look like somebody that was hostile.
Oh, I saw that.
Of course, maybe that didn't mean anything, but...
Well, you know, you have to look at the guy's life and say, was he ready to commit suicide? Because he did, you know?
Yeah.
You just have to study the consistencies or inconsistencies very carefully, okay?
He was very rich.
He was rich?
He was a, He was a multimillionaire, and he'd go to Vegas. Like, when he went to Vegas, he wasn't like other people, you know. Like, his brother said he called him up, and he said he won $225,000 one time.
Mm-hmm. His brother said he couldn't imagine him doing anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
But in any case, everyone's thinking about it, so I thought I'd throw my two cents in. And now we're going to go to more important topics, like how the Elohim created the universe. Oh, I see Rich Buckley sent me a comment. Yeah, let's see. What did Rich say? You know, Rich, you want me to ask the Elohim what really happened in Las Vegas, you know? I'm not going to do that, all right? Like, and you know what? There'll be enough evidence coming out to figure it out, okay? We know those things happen. We know we can't trust the government, okay? And
certain aspects of the government.
Certain aspects of the government. Yeah. I mean, we talked yesterday about tricksters, which was my excuse to reveal how inside out our reality is compared to what most people believe it is, okay? And we know that's true. So we don't, you know, I don't need to ask the Elohim what's going on here. Because, you know what? If we started doing that, and they started giving the right answers to everything we ask, they probably wouldn't. You know what? How's that going to look to the world? All right? Listen, we better get those guys, you know? And it's not their most important function to untangle those things. And first of all, when you ask questions like that, Carla Ruckert used to say this, and sometimes we push the edge, but she said, if you don't want to get negative energies coming in, keep your questions around absolute truths, things that are true 10,000 years from now as they are now. So it's like, how do I get rid of negative attachments? That's true 10,000 years as it is now. How do we get closer to feel the energies of the Elohim? That'll be true forever. If you ask, okay, tell us who did Las Vegas, give us their names so we can turn them in, and that'll get you killed. I mean, maybe not, but you're certainly drawing attention to yourself for the wrong reasons, okay? If you can understand that. There'll be enough on the internet to figure that out without me having to ask the Elohim. And if you guys enjoy our presence here, you don't want me to ask the Elohim because it could jeopardize the work we're doing to start asking those kinds of questions, all right? Particularly if we're right and other people hear us being right. It's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. But thank you, Rich. I know sometimes, you know, I was surprised sometimes that I don't even like to ask questions about Christianity and have them define things. Because, you know, people have their belief patterns about the way things were. And many people use traditional Christianity to get closer to God. And I don't want to be the one to discredit what they believe in. Actually, it doesn't matter. In many cases, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, for example, whether Judas was a rat or operating under Jesus' auspices. Not in the long run. If you're studying Jesus and you connect with the Christ consciousness, and which you can, even if you don't have all the background information correct, it's certainly a huge positive. So it's like, I don't want to redefine Christianity, although in many ways we have on our calls. But we're working with a small group that's almost like a insider group. At some point, if we suddenly have lots of people paying attention, I probably wouldn't go into those things. Probably not, because it would offend people, and maybe destroy their own connections. So that's all. If that makes sense, all right. So let's move on. We only got 25 minutes. And Terry's not ready, so we can start. But are you unmuted? You're unmuted, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. And any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are mindful of the questions that you have asked concerning the creation of the universe. The, you might call them laws, according to which stuff can be developed and manifest in the physical universe were set up not by us. We're getting a huge echo here.
Terry?
Yeah.
Did the echo go away?
No.
No. Hello. Let me see what's coming from me.
You don't have an echo? There, I don't hear it now. Can you hear me?
Now you hear it, right?
Now I hear it, yeah.
Wait a second. So it's coming from me for some reason, so I'll have to mute myself and unmute myself as we're talking. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Give me a minute. The laws according to which things can be developed somebody's calling. I'll have to let it go. All right. The laws according to how things could be developed were set in place before we ever existed or came into existence. We are merely working with the laws of creation as they have been set up. Man can also work with these laws of creation, and in the development of animals, these animals have been developed not so much by us, the Elohim, but by the genetic experiments of man and aliens. Some of the reasons for the insects and animals that have been developed were diverse and varied, and were particularly of advantageous to one particular side. For instance, the development of spiders, of huge spiders, that would be scary and would drive enemies away when they looked at them even. They were developed by one side of genetic experimenters and made to protect properties. However, then, as these, in this one instance, spiders procreated, and as they outlived their usefulness, like some spiders were developed to protect property and were held back by moats around the property, so people, invaders, couldn't or wouldn't trespass over the ground to threaten the property. And some of these spiders were huge and vicious. And that was their job, to be huge. They were bred to be huge and vicious. But then the properties passed to other people, and eventually the spiders were released into the wild, and then they began to develop their own genetic line. This is true with many of the species.
Just so I want to insert a question.
Yes.
On what planetary population, what planet or galaxy did spiders start from, and then how did they get to Earth, unless they started from Earth a long time ago?
Much like rats who have jumped aboard a ship, or snakes who have jumped aboard an airplane or a ship, and then are carried to another country that did not have snakes, these eventually found their way in transport between planets. These spiders started in another particularly warlike galaxy, area of a galaxy, more toward not even the Milky Way galaxy, not even your galaxy. They started in another galaxy, and the idea caught on for protecting property. And they had like barriers that the spiders could not cross. But they would stall aboard ships, spaceships, and be transported from place to place, and then eventually would establish populations in other galaxies. Also, the people that were there's people would pass on, and then they would lose interest in what they had developed, and what they had developed would go wild. Locusts could be bred to keep certain crops under control. As in this time and age now, the genetic experiments are with mosquitoes to combine different forms of mosquitoes to kill other forms of mosquitoes. And then you have those mosquitoes with different traits expanding and breeding.
Why would someone engineer a mosquito to begin with?
It would be a good diversion of war to turn a lot of mosquitoes loose upon an enemy to keep them at bay or to infect them with diseases, which the proprietors had immunity against. These things tend to get out of control. There are also interests in what can be done. Can I make a flying insect? Isn't this a pretty flying insect? How will it eat? Well, it can attack carnivores and can then live by its attack. There have been some ingenious people that were putting together potential insects or birds. Sometimes it was thought of as the bird would be very pretty. Let's develop very pretty birds so we can watch them. And they can help with the insect populations. So it took a long time for things to develop as they are, and they are still in transition.
How about things like giraffes? Obviously, a giraffe was not a random evolutionary species, but it was designed. And lions and rhinoceroses. I'm using those three as an example of three very different species very unique, and that doesn't seem like they evolved from random, even evolution.
That is correct. They were engineered. The giraffe was engineered and was built up. Perhaps we can make his neck longer and longer and longer and breed him to have a very long neck that can then reach trees to eat from the leaves from some tall trees.
Now, is the giraffe a product of our planet evolution in the past, or did it come here from somewhere else? And I can't imagine a giraffe stowing away on a ship. So.
No, however, the echo's back, but the there is such a thing as zoos, and so from one planet to another, they would bring different species. And sometimes these species would cross in the new planet and create another species. Giraffe was developed as a product of beauty that people could see and watch. And then they were transported by a spaceship to other planets that people could then put them into a zoo and see that these were animals that were existing on other planets.
How about lions, for example?
Lions could be looked at as protectors or predators that could protect an area and make it unlikely that others would cross into one's property when they had lions roaming upon it. Rhinoceroses were good in water. Elephants were highly refined with a sharp memory. Rhinoceroses could be protectors of areas of water and as they were transported to Earth for population, to create population of remote areas, then they procreated. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah. So let's go to the human species, and we have a number. Let's see, we have 5 minutes. This is an interesting topic, since we are all part of the human species. We have black people, we have Indians, we have Chinese, we have Norwegians, and more, you know, and variations in the species. How did that all come about?
Different planets have different species that have developed over time. There are planets such as the people from the Scandinavian countries. There are planets with more light-haired people. As time goes by, the light-haired people do better in the snow and the cold. And the different species have been originally adapted to the different areas where they have procreated. As when one is in a difficult climate, there are certain aspects of the human body that will survive better in some climates than in others. So the tendency has been for the people in certain areas to develop in certain ways with certain characteristics.
So are there species, say like Native Americans or black people, who are indigenous to the earth, or were they also brought here or came here from somewhere else?
There have been various civilizations on earth over the millions of years of its history, in fact, billions of years of its history. There was one group that had black hair, and they looked slightly more like Eskimos, although they did not live in the cold climate. They were more Asian-type people. Then there was a nuclear war, and they pretty well were wiped out. There were, in history, a group of more white colored people, and many people were brought here from other planets, and then they were wiped out. It is a cycle that keeps repeating, and the people that are descendants of those different countries or tribes, then procreate and have a genetic line. There are the Aborigines, which developed from an outpost from an alien land. The Asians developed from a different star system. The Africans are particularly suited to life in that type of climate, which varies depending upon what part of Africa it is. But still, their skin aids to their survival in that climate, in the climate there.
What was this will be my last question because we have to get off. What was the first planet or the first galaxy to have a bipodal humanoid type species?
You mean different species, different types of humans?
Well, any kind of human. I would imagine a two-legged being with a brain and could speak and could develop a culture and had potential for evolution. Where did that first occur?
There were so many places, and they developed diverse beings on them, and they would come and go. Practically as soon as some of the planets were formed, then there began to be life forms that were of rudimentary nature, that were developed out of the consciousness of the One. And they began to have a position. We see a galaxy in which this began to crystallize, but then there have been crystallizations that come and went. And we see the galaxy, but we do not know a name.
Sounds like there was a lot of simultaneous evolution taking place, yes?
Yes, there was. Parallel.
Okay. Well, you know what? This is a really interesting topic, and I could talk about it for another couple hours, but we have to go get off and go to Whole Planet Healing. So thank you so much for being with us and answering our questions. And thank you all who made donations. Really helped. I put it out tonight too. We were on the border paying Terry's mortgage, and somehow we managed to do it yesterday. So thank you, and we'll see you on Whole Planet Healing. Okay.